Good evening and hello and welcome, and you're listening to Three Moves and No CB Ahead Strategy Podcast.
that's what we could call it, yeah.
It just rolls right off the tongue.
Three no CBs ahead.
Three no CBs ahead. Yeah,
that's one.
There we go.
Three times zero is still zero, though, so it is still zero total CBs, even if you multiply it by three. So,
so we've taken over.
I passed high school math, barely. I'm Len. I'm your host, and I am here with Lambert.
Hello there.
And with Father Loris.
Hello.
And I think that this is going to be not a weekly, but like a monthly thing for at least the next little bit here. If you're listening to this on the main 3MA feed, this will be kind of a shorter preview version of the episode. The full extended discussion will be on our Patreon, patreon.com/3MA. But we're kind of reviving NoCB, which was a grand strategy podcast that we all three did with Rose, who works at Paradox now. So it's a conflict of interest, but we hope she's doing
well. She's been corrupted, is what you mean.
she's joined the Troy Goodfellow Club, where she's not allowed to talk about Paradox anymore because she works at Paradox. I think we're going to be doing a monthly check-in on... no reason to beat around the bush at this point. Europa Universalis 5. It hasn't been announced by the studio, but we all know it's coming.
Wait, what?
What did you think you were here to talk about?
Watching Eagles 2, of course.
It's just going to be another Victoria 3 complain cast.
That's like my resume now on this podcast.
So, for backstory, Johan Andersen, who created, the Europa Universalis series and also most of Paradox's main franchises, he spun off a studio called Paradox Tinto and fled to Spain in, was it
2020?
2020? To work on the Europa Universalis franchise is what the communication said.
I think originally it was to retire in the sun, and then he stops doing that and starts being a game developer again. But this time in the sun. So.
Exactly. In a place that has much less seasonal affective disorder.
And a lot more sangria. Yeah.
So exactly. I should have bought some sangria for this.
We should podcast. next time we should
and
that's our first segue.
They've been putting out DLC for EU4 pretty steady clip since then, but in February I believe it was, they started releasing these dev diaries called Tinto Talks about something that called Project Caesar, which is not officially confirmed to be EU5, but it's EU5.
It became pretty obvious at like Dev Diary 2, and then pretty much confirmed like last
year. There's a guy on Twitter who like every like US presidential election, he posts, "I've seen enough," when he feels like he knows who won the election. And I quote tweeted that with EU5 after I think the second Tinto Talks that like, "I've seen enough. It's EU5. Maybe it's a huge troll. Maybe they're going to call it something else. I don't think so, because Henrik Ferreyes Doomdark said he hated the name Crusader Kings during CK2's dev cycle, and they still called Crusader Kings 3 Crusader Kings 3. So I don't think it's going to be Terra Universalis or something. I think it's going to be called Europa Universalis 5 for branding purposes.
Well, I mean, this seems to happen every time there's new release, right? People do the same thing with Vicky. Yeah. Like, well, if they call it Bismarck, it's like, why would they do that? Why would they do that?
It's such a strong brand and IP and franchise. Like, why shoot yourself in the foot for the scruples of a very small minority of people who are... They just don't like the Eurocentrism-ist nature of the name. But I don't know. This is the period where Europe kind of won.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes sense.
It's not called Europa Universalis, and that's good, and they deserve it. It's, you know, it's kind of objectively too that true that Europe just painted everything all over the map during this time.
Speaking period. Of which, I should reread Brett Devereaux's post about why Europe, because that'll be an interesting question.
To see yeah. How that, oh man. Yeah. We should try to get Brett on one of these episodes. I still talk to him occasionally, but I'd love to hear, especially once we know more about the core design, I'd love to hear his thoughts on like what it's shaping up to be. But
yeah, that'd be great.
But yeah, so there's Johan has said he has plans for Dev Diaries for a while. So assuming there's four to five of them a month, I think we'll have plenty to talk about if we do a monthly episode versus the latter days of the original run of No CB when like we didn't even really care about half of the Dev Diaries anymore.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Just kind of devolved into this.
What crap has Victoria 3 put out this week? Let's shit on it for a little while.
I'm just going to monologue about, Hearts of Iron because I don't think anybody else has played it in 6 months. Or more. But we're all pretty excited about EU5.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, EU has been like my main game for a very long time. I had that brief stint with Imperator. It should totally be revived, by the way. But EU was still like the game that got me into Paradox games properly and into strategy games properly.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I've got 8,000 hours in it, and that's not in danger of stopping until this game comes out.
Yeah, same. It's something very close to my heart. I mean, EU3 was my first Paradox game I played, and that was like right off the back of like being really disappointed in Civilization V, and I was looking around for like strategy games. I think it was just before Divine Wind came out. It was around the same time. I've even got like a little ritual now. So like when I first booted up EU3, I first played as Holland, and In homage to that, I played as Holland for the first time in EU4, and I can't wait to just click on Holland and then instantly click off it in EU5 to play as a person you mentioned.
Lambert's hours blow mine out of the water, but it is my most played game ever on Steam by a stretch. I'm sitting at 2189 right now, which... The only thing that even comes close is Crusader Kings 2, which is at like 1700 hours. But I think I posted about, let me see if I can find this. Like, I've played more EU4 than I have all of the following games combined. Civilization 5, Civilization 6, Stardew Valley, all the versions of Skyrim, you know, the remaster, the super double remaster.
What on the microwave?
Yeah, exactly.
How about your calculator, Skyrim?
Smart fridge version. City Skylines 1 and 2. And then here's the big one. Every Total War game I own on Steam.
How long have you got?
Add all enough of those up, and it's still less hours than I've played in years.
Like saying I've got more than two. It's like, I've added 1 hour to that total.
So I just went and looked at my Steam played. My second place game is Imperator, and obviously, but I don't know how much you know about my like history, but Lord Lambert is what I go by now, but I used to be Lambert 2191, and I've got 2,191 hours in Imperator Rome, and I feel like I should never play that again.
You have more hours in Imperator than I do in EU4. That's wild. Yeah, like slightly more.
I mean,
we'll talk.
Unemployment does to someone.
I just keep it loaded while I'm doing work in the background. You know, I don't actually play the game for that much time.
I kind of feel like EU4 is the GOAT, right? Like, it might not be everybody's favorite game, but I think if you had to like if we were talking about strategy games the way people talk about sports players, I think greatest of all time, like the consensus would probably be EU4. Like, I don't know, maybe it's too niche for that.
But I get a bit snobby about EU4 too. It's like, it's like, oh, sure, you play Crusader Kings. That's sweet. That's nice. But, you know, I'm I'm the elite. I play EU4. You know what I mean?
Enjoy your characters.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it's like for me, it's very much that like that Top Gear meme of like, this is brilliant, but I love this. Like, yeah. I like Crusader Kings more, you know, as the I like this part of it. But I have to give it up to EU4 as like, just like the elegance of it, like, and it holds up. Like, I've played a ton of Anbinar in the last 2 years. I have not played vanilla since, I think, like, Domination or Leviathan. They're all just generic names at this point, so I'm not sure which one is which. Domination, Leviathan, King of Kings, they're all just miscellaneous grab bag expansions.
That kind of really is telling on what is happening down at Tinto, though, because all of the expansions since like 2021 have all been things that could have been made by modders. They're mostly mission tree stuff with very, very little in the way of mechanics and things that need to be coded. Potentially, maybe, because all of these programmer coder people that can do that kind of magic stuff that I have no idea about are all working on EU5.
Yeah.
But then the thing is, like, I loaded up vanilla EU4 for the first time in years, like a couple weeks ago, because I was just like, all I can think about is EU5. I need to do something to get this off
the itch.
And I was just like, you know what? Portugal, like, super basic. And I'm like, man, this game holds up. Mm-hmm. Like, this 12-year-old game, like, it really does hold up. Like,
it's telling because there are things in EU4 that I like, mechanics that I hate,
right,
that I absolutely despise, but it's still my favorite game.
Yeah.
There are things that I really wish were different and that I actively dislike being a part of it, but I will still play it because the rest of the game, that whole, is just so much better than anything else that any other game offers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even at its lowest, like after Leviathan, right? I was still, despite everything, you know, because that was a terrible expansion, but like, it was still pretty good. Even at the lowest point, it was still pretty good.
A lot of the mechanics that I don't like a lot in EU4. Like, they've already solved it. Like, stability, Imperator solved it. Imperator fixed stability. Like, just put that in EU5. It's done. Like, stability resting point, and it's, like, impossible to keep it at the cap. Good. It just fixed, you know? So.
Mana, Imperator also fixed it.
Imperator, fixed it.
Development. Like it. Imperator, fix it. It's like, okay. What part of the things that I dislike about EU were not fixed by Imperator? And the only thing on that list is trade. I don't like EU4 trade.
Yep.
Imperator didn't fix it. So come on, Johan, give us Tinto Talks 5. Tell us about the trade.
So there is a little bit on, I think it's the second dev diary, where he mentions... finally, we have, skipping ahead a little bit, we have what we currently call passages. These are land locations that cannot be settled by anyone, but can still be traversed by an army with some insanely heavy attrition, or allow trade to pass through. That means dynamic trade routes. Please, I hope it means dynamic trade routes.
If trade is passing through
you
say, okay, here's my crackpot theory. What if trade?
No, please don't. That is some Vietnam level flashback bullshit. I cannot be doing with any more crackpot theories. Please, to God.
Okay. What if trade, since these are provinces, is unit based? What if there's trade units that move around the map? If they require a province to move trade around, what if you get caravans and stuff like that that move?
So the way that I would think that it would work, because of how pops are going to work, which we're going to get into. Yes, it has pops.
Yay.
And what Johan has said about like designing for things to have minimal performance impact, I feel like a trade route will be a thing with a psi, with with goods on it that can be of any size. Like they could have, it could be 1,000 furs or one fur, and it would have the same performance impact. That's kind of how I feel like it would make the most sense. But yeah, I don't know. Because I think if you're tracking each trade good as an individual unit, that would destroy performance.
Yeah.
It would need to be more like how pops work, where it's like, it doesn't matter if this pop is size one or size a billion. It doesn't really affect the performance because the pops in this game are coded different. I almost said something a little bit more disparaging.
What you're looking for is
better, perhaps. I mean, we haven't played it yet, but this is what Johan is saying. So I hope he can back that up with a game that he says is going to run very much better than you know Victoria 3 does, and I hope that he's right.
He didn't say that outright, but he suggests that very clearly.
Yeah. I mean, he's been pretty, you know, unhinged when it comes to, yes, what I'm making is better than this. All right, he's not been holding back, let's say.
I don't want to go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, it does make sense, because like Victoria 3, like I was saying earlier, it wasn't recorded, it does hang around Victoria, like Paradox's neck quite a lot. So as soon as pops were mentioned, of course people are going to worry. Right, they're going to worry.
Yeah,
they're going to associate with Vicky Free's like performance issues. So that had to be stated. It makes sense.
Right, like I want Victoria 3 to be an amazing. I want Victoria 3 and EU5 to be an amazing game. I don't want to like pick a sports team where it's like I want EU to succeed and Victoria to fail. I want them both to be awesome, but I do think Johan has been critical of Victoria 3, you know,
yeah, you could say that.
And that some of the things he has said that he is critical of are also problems that I have with where Victoria 3 is at.
Yeah, right now. I completely agree. It's completely justified.
I mean, I'll even come out and say that, like, I had kind of a honeymoon period with Victoria 3 where I was enjoying it a lot. And at this point, it's like, that's very much over. Like, I think if I was doing a Steam review on it, it would probably be at like mixed or slightly negative right now.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
So same here.
Right, my Steam review is negative.
I'm very jealous.
What was the GIF you posted? Because like when I said Victoria, I don't know if Victoria 3 is fixable now. I remember you posted a GIF in our group chat that was the girl. Yeah, it's like the girl watching the house burn. Looking girl. So
the girl with the fire behind her. She totally set that fire, let's be honest. But I did not burn down Vicky 3, so no. I feel like it isn't entirely accurate.
It's just that your opinion on it at launch ended up being closer to what my opinion is now than what my opinion of it was at launch.
That's like, the thing. This is why I'm so jealous of Lambert, because what it feels like is, like, we're in the Looney Tunes, right? And Lambert is the lucky guy who's had the piano drop on his head and he was just crushed instantly. Me and Liana here, we're stuck under like a slow-moving steamroller. It's endless years of toil and torment for us, you know? You know, you're in a much better situation, Lambert.
Yeah, no, that's certainly a way of describing the situation. Yeah, sure.
Again, I want it to be fixable. I just don't know if it is.
Yeah.
I am not confident at this point that it is fixable.
Yeah.
But I want it to be, you know.
Where I am right now is, I don't care. If you fix it, good for you. I'm done. I had my hopium, I had my copium, and now I'm huffing dunium or whatever. Yeah. Like I don't care anymore.
You've become like a Vicky 3 bodhisattva. You have let go of all attachments.
I'm zen with it.
Vicky Eightfold Path. That's what he's up.
Yeah,
we tried so hard to make this. Let's not crap on Vicky 3, but we've done a little bit.
A little bit. So let's talk about what we know about EU5. or Project Caesar, or I don't know. Maybe they'll troll us and call it something different.
Eve Caesar.
We have seen the world map. There are, what, 27,000 something? Yeah. What was the exact number? I was posting notes in the chat, and then we ended up talking for a very long time about Victoria and Imperator. 27,500 locations, which some of those might be like wastelands or like those passages that they're talking about.
And probably two provinces too, I would have thought. Like, if I was marketing, I would want to bump those numbers up. So I would do anything I could.
So EU4 has it has 4,284 just land provinces, including or excluding wastelands. If you include sea provinces and wastelands, it's a little bit less than 5,000 total. So it's about 6 to 6.5 times as dense as EU4's map is, which we can see specific examples in some of the screenshots, like Cyprus, which is a single province in EU4, is 7 locations in EU. I'm just going to call it EU5. I don't care at this point.
It's much easier. It rolls off the tongue.
I'm not going to say Project Caesar. I'm just going to say, as far as 3MA is concerned, it's EU5.
Imperator has around about 8,000 as well, like 8,100 or something along those lines. But obviously, that doesn't include any of the Americas. It doesn't include anything in China, anything north of like Poland. So there's it's more condensed than what we can see in Project Caesar EU5 here, but it kind of suits that more, and I don't think that's a negative that there isn't as much density as Imperator in EU5. It doesn't faze me on that front.
Imperator is a bit more dense. I also like that Imperator is a little bit meaner with terrain. Like, we were comparing the Balkan Peninsula and like the Peloponnese in Imperator versus what we've seen of EU5 so far. And like, there's some impassable mountains on the EU5 map, but it's not as many. And I kind of like having more impassable mountains personally. I'm an impassable mountains fan.
An enjoyer, one could say.
Yeah.
You know what I'm not a fan of? The mountain passes. I hope they don't come from Imperator. I always thought that was not very. It'd be uncolonizable mountain passes, which
I think we've already been told that those are in.
Yeah.
Are they? Right. Okay. Interesting.
Like, if you look at how they've done, like, the Sahara, or like, I mean, the entire Congo rainforest is just a giant impassable blob. Yeah. The Amazon is like two giant blobs with like a tiny little passageway through part of it. And then like the Sahara is like these big puzzle pieces with like little trade routes running through them.
You know what, actually, tiny oases. I might revise that opinion, actually, because the reason I didn't like it mainly was because when you're playing in Tibet and Imperator, you just stuck it in Tibet and you can't go into India. But if you're playing with the rest of the world, I don't care. Because, you know, if I'm Tibet, I'm very eastward, so who cares? I don't particularly want to go to India.
Tibet Universalis, yeah.
Yeah. So maybe it'll be okay. Well, now I'll revise that.
Like, I feel like Greece should have a little bit, or like Greece/Epirus, like that region should have more mountainous. I kind of feel like Vietnam should be a little bit more mountainous, you know, just based on what we've seen so far.
It should be a little bit less than Imperator, though, because think about it, Imperator is like 2,000 years, 1,800 years before this game is set, and we'll talk about that in a bit, I'm sure, but there would be more advanced roadways and such bringing people into and out of those mountainous areas in this period versus, you know, 300 BC. So it makes a little bit of sense that there isn't absolutely everywhere the same level of impassibility as Imperator, but a little bit more would still be nice.
That makes sense.
It'll provide like natural blocks too, like, you know, if there's mountain passes in the Pyrenees or something, that's a natural block between like France and Spain.
They hadn't even invented climbing in the Imperator time period.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
They were like, wow, this surface is not at a 90 degree angle. What are we going to do?
Well, I mean, you've played Total War games recently, right? Aren't they able to just pull ladders out of their butts now back then? Like, they didn't need any extras. They could just use the butt ladders.
Yeah, well, no, it's like the chariots in Warhammer 3, where, like, if there's a slight incline, they'll just, like, fall off and blow up. That's what used to happen. Anything you guys want to plug? I'll put this in the free part of the episode. So if you're now just now rejoining us, go look and see how long the full episode is on Patreon, because I think you're getting your money's worth this month.
Oh yeah.
But to you freeloaders just now rejoining us, Lambert, where can people find your stuff?
I am Lord Lambert on YouTube. I play EU4, funnily enough. But also, I've been going over these Tinto talks individually with every week, and we'll continue to do so with as much detail as I can manage. Probably be expanded on when we do these 3-hour massive dives, though. But also, I play a lot of Anbanau multiplayer over on Twitch, Lord_Lambert over there.
And Loris, where can people find your stuff?
Chapelcomic.com is my website, and you'll find a bunch of links at the bottom of the website there for, like, Reddit, on Twitter, and Felvaloris. I just talk comics about mostly EU4 at the moment.
it's
so good. But I'll have comics up for EU4. I'll make some picky free, I'm thinking, in the future too.
I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah.
There's a few ideas I got. But at the moment, I'm on an E4 binge. I'm missing Dev Diaries for E4. And you can see my comics at the bottom of those Dev Diaries too.
All right.
There you go.
Three no CBs ahead is supported by listeners like you on Patreon. If you are listening this on the extended Patreon cut, and you made it this far, congratulations. I hope your long car trip or your long hike or whatever it is that we had
your coma
that you had to be doing to listen to us talk about a game that isn't even out yet for this long. especially thanks to our Patreon producers Mark M and Bucktown. You can get access to the rest of this episode, if you are just now listening to the preview version, as well as our Discord server and our multiplayer community. We're playing some multiplayer Anbanar right now, so if you're an EU fan, you can get in on that. I'm just up in the north as Karak Doomvor playing single player Dwarf Fortress, and it's great.
It's a good time. It's a very good time.
It is a good time.
What else do I say at the end of the episode? At 3MA on Twitter, we'll probably be doing one of these monthly, as I said at the beginning of the show. I don't think they will generally come out to 3.5 hours because there was a lot of stuff like the start date discussed that, like, that's not going to be new information that we're going to get again. So,
should we try and get Victoria 3 is also out of our system now?
I don't really buy that.
No, I don't either.
We should get some guests. Right?
Yeah. We should. I would love to get Brett Devereaux on one of these.
Yeah.
Especially once we know more about the design of, like, the socioeconomic stuff.
I'd love to get Jay, the guy who Ambanar guy.
Yeah. I want to get him on when he's allowed to talk about.
Yeah, I was wondering how much access
he's got. He's clearly been working on Anbanar 2 and has access to the source code. Because if he's under embargo, then we're just going to be torturing him for 2 hours. Maybe he can talk in abstract terms. Tell us some things you would like to put in Anbanar 2. Cool. We'll be back with another episode of 3MA next week. We'll be back with another edition of whatever this is next month. And thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.